We're all here this afternoon because we want to be accepted by God. The problem comes in how it is that we want to be accepted by Him. Worship, according to one dictionary, is a system of adoration toward a deity or a supreme being. There are, according to the Bible, a lot of different types of worship. There is pagan worship, there is idol worship, and surrounded in these things are other things such as people worship, worshiping things, worshiping self. But all of these are vain worship or empty worship. We learn, of course, from the scriptures that there is a true form of worship. And that's the one that we want to concentrate on in the few moments that are ours this afternoon. What we want to do is we want to show what God wants from us in true worship. We need to know that our worship is accepted by God. We need to know that our faith is right, and we need to know that it's going to produce for us the desired reward in heaven. This, I hope, is the goal of each one of us. Heaven is an eternal home. One of the first acts of worship that we see in the scriptures, we find in Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. We read here, "In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of his firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." Now, if that's all we knew about this particular occasion, we would have to say, God must be a respecter of persons. Because after all, Cain brought an offering to God, and God wouldn't accept it. But there are a few other facts that we have at our disposal in the scriptures. The first place we would look would be Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. Here we're told that by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. How is it that God had respect for Abel's offering and not for that of Cain? Well, very simply, the scriptures here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4 tells us that Abel offered his sacrifice by faith. That would tell us, of course, that Cain did not offer his sacrifice by faith. We don't need the instructions in the book of Genesis to tell us God told them to offer this and not that. Because we read in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if Abel offered his sacrifice by faith, it had to be according to the word of God. So based on that, what is necessarily implied here? It's apparent, as I mentioned before, first of all, that Cain did not act by faith. And so we must conclude that Adam, being the patriarch, was told by God what was an acceptable sacrifice and what was not, and that he directed his children in the Word of God as to what was acceptable sacrifice and what was not. So how is it then that we determine today what is God's will? First, we notice that in order to be accepted by God, we must have faith. We see this looking down just a couple of more verses in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We must believe that God exists. From the before the beginning of time, through time, past the end of time, wherever we look, God is. And not only that, but he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith that moves us to do his commands is the faith that we need. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 35, God doesn't show partiality. It says, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. When we fear God, when we reverence God and work righteousness, then we are accepted by God. We need to worship, as we've already noted in our scripture reading by David, and I appreciate that this afternoon, that our worship needs to be in spirit and truth, as well as from the heart. As David read, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Very simply, we need to worship from a purpose, not just something that we made up, but according to the will of God. I tried to come up with an example in this, and hopefully I've come up with one that makes sense. You all know that Maya's dog lives at my house. We're going to pretend just for a moment, if you'll allow me, that this dog has run away from the house. And we're going to pretend, this may take even a little bit more imagination, that I like this dog. And so I put up a poster. And I say, lost dog, large size, black and white markings. It's a black lab shepherd mix, answers to the name of Dressy. $50 reward for her return. All right. Obviously, it's my will that Dressy be returned to us. I wait for somebody to knock on the door while everybody else is out looking for the dog. Somebody's got to stay there and wait in case somebody brings her back. And I'm waiting there. Somebody comes up to the door. Galen comes up to the door, by the way. He's carrying this tan pit bull terrier. And he says, it's a dog. It has four legs. It's a mixed breed. I should get the reward. I said, Galen, you know better than that. You know, I asked for a black lab, black and white markings, black lab shepherd. Is this acceptable? Should I give him the reward? Because after all, he brought me a dog, right? You know, we laugh at something like that. But people use the same logic when it comes to demands on God's reward. I made an effort. I kind of brought you what you wanted. And so I should have the reward. I should have eternal life. Because after all, God, I brought you something. I didn't just totally leave you in the dark. Somebody else, probably somebody like Daryl, brings me a poodle. Asks for the reward. Does he get the money? It's a dog. It's what was in the ad. But he only brought me part of what I asked for, right? Just some of what I asked for. And that's what people do with God, right? You know, I like this part of your word, God. And so I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it to the very best of my ability. But that other part, that's too hard. Yeah, I've got a better way to do that. And that's what people do in talking to God, isn't it? Lauren gets really crazy. Brings me a pig. Says, it's got four legs and a tail. What more do you want? Right? There's people who just don't care about the details when it comes to God's worship, to worship to God. If I like it, God's got to like it. Who cares about the details? God just looks at the big picture. Are they going to get to heaven? We can see it in the simple earthly example here of trying to get my dog back, but we can't see it in religious matters. Why is this? Does it really matter? Well, of course it does. It doesn't matter if David brought me a black lab shepherd mix that was black and white. If it doesn't answer to the name of Dressy, I know my dog. I'm not going to accept it. When we worship God, we need to do it in accordance with His direction. Does it really matter? God is going to reject anything and anyone that is not rightfully His. God gave us Jesus as the only way to salvation. John chapter 14 and verse 6, speaking to Thomas, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Very simply, through Christ is the only way to the Father. But people try to find God without Christ. In Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 through 15, read, Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. And remember here, when Isaiah is talking, he's not prophesying here to the literal cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. They've long been destroyed. Right? Who is he talking to here? He's talking to the people of God and calls them Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or in lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, Who has required you this of your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. In your new moons and in your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. What do you mean you don't want our sacrifices, God? You commanded these sacrifices of bulls and of rams. You commanded us to burn incense before you. And now you say they're an abomination? They're worthless to me? What's the trouble? They were not being offered in the proper spirit. They were being offered out of habit. Is our worship out of habit? Or is it a true love for God that brings us to worship Him? Not only in our assemblies, but from day to day. When we come together, is it because that's where we're supposed to be on the first day of the week and on Wednesday evening? Or are we coming because, like David, we would say, I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Let me tell you that if you're here just because this is the place I'm supposed to be, your worship to God is no better than these people that He commands Isaiah to write to right here. And you need to seriously reconsider where you are with respect to God, because your worship is not acceptable. Isaiah makes that extremely plain here. Again, Malachi, in Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am the master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on your altar. But say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? But now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? If we are not bringing our very best to God, then what we are bringing is not acceptable to Him. Try to pay your bills with that. Try to pay your taxes with the leftovers. It's not going to work. The very best is what's required. In order to worship God, He needs to have first place, not just with our lips, but with our hearts. Again, in Hosea chapter 6, verses 4 through 10, O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew it goes away. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and your judgments are like light that goes forth, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But like men, they transgressed the covenant. There they dealt treacherously with me. Gilead is a city of evildoers and defiled with blood. As bands of robbers lie in wait for a man, so the company of priests murders on the way to Shechem. Surely they commit lewdness. They have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the harlotry of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. What's the trouble? Not that they weren't worshiping. They were worshiping. But they were worshiping with their lips. Their spirit was not there. Their desire was for other things. Their worship was a show. God rejects worship that is not according to what He has commanded. Those mentioned in the above passages were guilty of continued sin and were choosing to continue in sin rather than repent and turn to God. You know, as long as I am at the assemblies, it doesn't matter what I do with the rest of my life. That's what these people were saying. And that's what people today say when they put their own desires, their own fleshly appetites, ahead of God in anything that we do. God has told us what He wants, to worship Him in spirit and truth. To worship Him is to love Him heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, when He was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment." If we are to worship God with our heart, that is, with our whole heart, everything that we have is attuned to what God wants us to do. Not what God wants me to do on Sunday morning and what I want to do the rest of the week. But in everything we do, we ask the question, is this what God wants me to do? With all of your soul. Your soul is, in this particular case, the breath of life. As long as life is yours, there's no retirement from the work of God. As long as God gives you breath, you have a responsibility to be serving Him. Excuse me. With all of your mind, that is your thought process. You don't dwell on the things of this earth, but on the things that are of God. Focus on those things. Fill your mind with God's Word and with all your strength. As God gives you the physical ability to work for Him, you need to be serving Him. That's what Jesus said here in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments," John 14:15. Jesus instructed the Holy Spirit to guide the apostles and the early church into all the truth. We have the apostles' doctrine. We have the examples of the early church. When we read the scriptures, we know what God wants. So why do we follow men who make up their own rules and expect God to just take whatever they send Him? A lot more could be said on this, and there's more time, but I'm running out of voice. And so I'm going to leave that with you. Hopefully I've given you some thoughts that will stir you to make whatever changes are necessary in your life, that your worship and your work to God is acceptable. The point of this lesson has been to show that God will not accept just any old worship. God will only accept the worship that He has specified. All others is vain, empty, worthless. If your life is spent not in worship to God, but in fulfilling your own desires, it is not acceptable to God. If you're not a Christian tonight, you know what is what your responsibility is. Upon your obedient faith to Him, upon the faith that moves you to do what He wants you to do, have that change of mind, change of heart, to do what He wants. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God, to be buried with Him in baptism, to walk in newness of life. We want you to take this opportunity to become an obedient child of God. If you've done this in the past and your life is not what it ought to be, now is the time to pray God for forgiveness, that you can walk once again justified in His sight and serve Him faithfully from this day forward. If we can help you in any way that is consistent with God's Word to more faithful obedience to Him, won't you come forward while we stand and sing?